Seated. After that one, it's hard for me to be seated. That one, I just want to march around the sanctuary. Moons, we're moving on. We're moving on to something different, to something better. And I love it as God moves us to new and better places. This morning, we continue our sermon series, Why Did the Christian Cross the Road? And so we hear these words once again from Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of a messenger who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God rules. And then a verse or two from Romans chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. Paul says to us, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we do give you thanks that you are moving us to something different. And so through the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts, help them be acceptable to you. Help them to move us to a new place because you are our salvation. You are our strength. And you walk with us no matter where we go. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we are helping the children in our lives learn to grow up, we teach them to stop and look both ways before crossing the street. And when we're teaching the next generation to cross the street, whether on foot or whether they're learning to drive, we really are trying to teach them more than just stop and look both ways. We try to teach our young people to beware of all of their surroundings. We ask, what are all those obstacles that might get in my way? What are the things that will obstruct me from getting to point A, from point A to point B without any harm to myself or to others? What are the distractions that might take my attention? And then what are the excuses I make when something goes wrong? I know a young man who recently got his driver's license. He had been practicing his driving. His parents felt confident in his ability. He had a car, and he headed out on the road. Just a few days after setting out driving with his new license, he was leaving a sports practice at school. He had the windows down in the car and some important papers inside, and when he stepped on the gas, the wind started blowing and the papers started blowing around in the car. He moved his attention from the road to get those papers and, of course, moved the steering wheel along with him, and he hit the gate that was right there and pretty much totaled the car. Luckily, his pride was injured more than his body, and he learned an important lesson early in his driving experiences, that turning your attention away from the road, even for a second, can cause you to put yourself or others in harm's way. There were certainly distractions in his car that day, and the gate he hit was a barrier that did not mesh well with the front end of his car. And I have to say, from what I know about this story, this young man did not make excuses. He fessed up. He knew he had made an error in judgment by turning his attention away from the road. We all know simply crossing the street on foot or driving a car can be treacherous. There are also barriers and obstacles and distractions and excuses we make for us crossing the street spiritually, making that move to invite someone into the life of the church, or sharing God's love and grace with them, this can feel sort of treacherous. There can be lots of things that are in our way, things that impede us from crossing the road to invite another person to join us here in the body of Christ. So today, as we continue this sermon series, we explore just a little bit some of those deterrents we face in inviting other people to church, in being bearers of love and grace of Jesus to others. There are obstacles to this kind of invitational life, and I believe the biggest obstacle that we face is fear. Fear gets in the way of so much that we do. Fear can be debilitating sometimes. Fear can stop us from doing so many things that would actually, if we did them, empower us and free us and bring us so much joy and fulfillment. Fear stops us so often from doing that thing or those things that God calls us to do and the things that would help us and others to live more fully into the people that God created us to be. Fear can take all different kinds of shapes, big and small. Sometimes I think fear is just that fear of feeling silly, fear of looking silly or being seen as silly by someone else that we're inviting. Sometimes we fear looking too religious. You know, we people of faith don't like to look too religious. And I say that sort of jokingly, facetiously, because I think sometimes we people of faith are so afraid of looking too religious that we never share our faith at all. We never share that life-transforming love and grace that God has worked in our own lives. Sometimes we're afraid that we will seem too pushy. You know, we don't want somebody to feel like if we extend an invitation that they'll feel backed into a corner, when that invitation would just be a gift extended that can either be taken or not. When it comes to sharing the good news, to proclaiming peace and inviting others to partake in this amazing, messy community of love, we sometimes have fear that we'll be rejected. On the first Sunday when we started this series, Mandy shared with us some pretty astounding statistics. She shared with us, if you will remember, that 82%, such a big number, 82% of people would welcome an invitation to come to church. 82%, most people, a vast majority of people out there who are not here, would welcome an invitation to church. Now, I don't know what the percentage of people that would actually take up the invitation and come to church is. I don't know how you would ask that question, but so many people would really enjoy receiving the invitation, and I believe that is a great place to start, no matter what they do with it. In fact, as I thought about it more, extending that invitation, I realized that simply giving that invitation, inviting someone to come to worship, or asking if someone would join you for a special event or a study that we're doing here, or just inviting someone to share together your joys and your struggles and pray for one another, the invitation itself, just crossing the road as a Christian, is actually the sharing of God's peace and good news and salvation. Simply by extending an invitation, you are being grace to another person. By offering the invitation, you are seeing and acknowledging that person and sharing with them a very special gift. I would say, in many ways, sharing the invitation is more important than what that person does with it. There are all kinds of obstacles that stand in the way of us being the messengers of God's peace and good news. And a lot of them have to do with these fears, large and small. So ask yourself, what are the obstacles? What are the fears that I have in crossing the road? A few Saturdays ago, I think it was the Saturday before Hurricane Florence and her aftermath came through our way, we Dornsmiths had a day where there was nothing on the calendar. There was no place we had to be. And when I got up that morning, I thought, I am going to be at this house doing my thing here all day long. And so that was the day that I put on those clothes. You already know what I'm talking about. Those clothes. You know, the clothes that are kind of at the bottom of your drawer that, you know, maybe they're a little out of style or don't fit as well, but they're really comfortable and you just wear them at home because nobody else is going to see them. So I put on those clothes that morning. And, you know, I put my hair up in some kind of funny thing on the top of my head just to keep me cool and out of the way. I wasn't going anywhere that day. Well, we started in the day and got things going. And, of course, everybody got hungry. And so then there was talk of getting sandwiches. And so I thought, well, yeah, I can go get sandwiches. I won't see anybody. We'll all hop in the car. And then there was, well, we need a couple things from the grocery store. And so, okay, you know, Eddie and Saren will get the sandwiches and I'll run in the grocery store. And there's just a couple things on the list. I won't be in there long. Nobody will see me. And, you know, so you know how it is. By the time I walked out of the house, there were five or six things on the list. And so here I was in Harris Teeter. And I was running around real quick trying to get it done fast because, you know, I looked. My grandmother used to say, you look like who shot Miss Agnes? That's what I felt like that day, you know. And so I was running around trying to get it done. And I got to the potato chip section of Harris Teeter. And there was this guy, I'm going to call him George. He was standing there doing tastings of potato chips. Well, he starts talking to me, and I've actually had tastings with George the, you know, weeks past, and so I thought, okay, and it's potato chips, so I've got to taste them, you know. And so here he is offering me potato chips. And one of the flavors was something hot and spicy, and I said, oh, I don't know if I can try that one. That's a little too hot for me. And he said to me, well, you have the whole weekend to recover. Well, that, I think, is when the Holy Spirit took over, because at that point, I said, what came out of my mouth was, well, I actually don't have the whole weekend to recover. I've got to be at church in the morning. I'm a pastor. Now, why I said that, well, the way I looked, you know, like I said, the Holy Spirit really took over, and he was kind of intrigued, probably because I looked like I did, like, you're a pastor? Are you kidding me? But it provided this conversation. And so we talked about my church, and I invited him here to this place. I told him the times and what kinds of services we had. And I don't think George is sitting in the congregation today. At the same time, I really felt like, because I stopped and I didn't worry about the obstacles of the way I looked or the distractions of, you know, what I was doing that day, that I was in a hurry. I just, kind of like Mandy said a few weeks ago, there was a crack, the door was cracked open, and I just went on in. And I felt like that something in George shifted just a little bit in that moment because of our connection, because I had seen him and invited him to this place, invited him to our church. He said, oh, Methodist, well, I'm an old Methodist, and I don't find many of them around here. And I said, well, this is your lucky day. This is your lucky day. Here I am. I haven't seen him yet, but I'm looking for George at Harris Teeter, at my Harris Teeter, and I hope to have another opportunity to invite him once again. But I'm so glad that I didn't let anything that was happening and going on that day stop me from making that invitation. There are always distractions that could hinder us from offering the invitation of love and grace to others. Often we are distracted by so many things or so many things going on. We're busy, we're in a hurry, we gotta get the sandwiches, we look terrible. We're distracted by things that seem so important that we're worried about. There's so much things, you know, our 24-hour news cycle, you can't get a break from it. And there's so many things that are taking up our minds and our spirits and our world and our country right here in our own community. And it's hard not to be distracted by all of these different things. And yet, that's a part of our call. For us Christians to cross the road, sometimes we have to be really intentional about limiting our distractions, you know, in order to look both ways so we can see where God is leading us and to watch out for the spiritual obstacles and all those things that may hinder us from where God is leading. We're called to be followers of the Spirit. And Paul writes in Romans 12, He invites the people of the church not to lag in zeal. Don't let these things help us lag in zeal. And to be ardent in the Spirit, to contribute to the needs of the saints, the Georges of this world, and to extend hospitality to strangers. We're called to be that, to be in the Spirit, to not lack in zeal, to not get to that place of apathy. And I love that word about hospitality. And as I think about that, you know, we like to sit in here and think about this wonderful place, this wonderful community of people that we have here at Forest Hill, and say, come on in, you know. When the people get here, we are a great place. And yet hospitality has a next step, hospitality, because there's a lot of Georges in the world that need us to go out there and say, we've got a door, come in this door. And maybe even, I'll walk in the door with you, come and go with me sometime. In addition to these obstacles and distractions, we sometimes simply make excuses for why we can't or don't want to be more invitational. And excuses aren't ever good, are they? Sometimes I think our excuse is that we simply don't have our act together yet. You know, when I get my act together, then I'll be more invitational. Or, you know, our church doesn't really have its act together. I'm not going to invite anybody, you know, to our church. And I know that I'm never going to have my act together. I've got to stop and realize that, you know, and our church is always going to be imperfect. It's just we're never going to have our act all together. I know sometimes in the back of my head I make that excuse, you know, well, Eddie's not here with me. My husband doesn't come, so how would I think I can invite somebody else? And I've really thought about that as I've looked at the obstacles and excuses in my own life. Why should I let that part stop me from sharing the love and grace with other people? That's an excuse I can make that I've got to stop. Simply an excuse. There's no reason to hold back the wonderful news of God simply because we don't have it all together yet. So I invite you to think for yourself, what are those obstacles? What are those distractions? What are those excuses that you're making? Be honest with yourself. What are those things that you're putting in the way of inviting people to this wonderful, chaotic, beautiful mess that we call church? It's hard to get out of our comfort zones. It's hard to take that first step. It's hard to cross the road over to another person and to share with them the life-transforming love and grace of God. And yet sometimes the Spirit moves, and it's a wonderful and good thing when we do. So I invite you into that discernment, into that prayer. I pick this last hymn every time I feel the Spirit. And it goes on to say, moving in my heart, I will pray. Well, as we sing it, I want you to think, what else will you do when you feel the Spirit moving? Because sometimes the Spirit moves in the grocery store and the potato chip department. And so whenever the Spirit moves, let us act. Let us pray. Let us invite. Let us extend the love and grace, the peace of God with others. Let's stand and sing.